All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Bellied Up episode. Me and Charlie are here at Chubb's Pub here in Fargo, North Dakota.
We're chubbing it up at Chubb's Pub, gentlemen.
We're not bellied up to a bar, but we're bellied up to the table in the back room.
Couple of high tops.
Couple of high toppers.
Why do they call them high tops, Miles?
Because they're not low tops.
Oh.
The top of the table is higher than a regular table, Charlie.
Interesting. There we go. I thought someone was trying to make a table while they were high, and they were like, I screwed it up.
What do you like about Chubb's Pub? We got a little history lesson. I know you're kind of a history guy.
I'm a bit of a history buff, Miles. And leading up to this, we learned that Chubb's Pub was established in 1966 as a piano bar, an upscale piano bar. But then
Do you think it still looks like an upscale piano bar, Charlie?
Well, I do think that there might be a scale somewhere. But it is broken and no piano in sight.
Nope.
Miles. The walls are branded, though. We got some cattle brands on the wall. That's
what I like about this place. They had actually had a cattle branding party here.
They did.
So students and farmers from around the area came in, brought their cattle brand, and they branded the wall behind us.
The wood wall. Now,
it's a unique idea. I've never heard of that before. I think more bars start doing that, but safely doing that.
Yeah, and do not tell your insurance provider about it.
Yeah.
And certainly don't tell two jackasses with a podcast who are going to mention that in the intro of all things. Now, Miles, you have some news.
Yeah, I suppose it's been since I announced that I'm going to be a dad. We haven't had a podcast. So, yeah.
So,
you're looking at father of one so far. Unborn.
Unborn. Yeah.
We're due in June of 2024. So
okay,
right in the thick of it.
Let me do the math. So June, let's back that train up. Okay. May, April, March, February, January, December, November.
October,
September was when you were getting lucky.
Yeah.
Good man.
Not to brag. Not confirmed yet. The baby isn't born.
Yeah.
Still just pictures on a screen. But once that baby's born, confirm one-time sex haver right here.
Good for you, dude. Yeah. We're all very proud.
You could still be a virgin, Charlie.
Am.
You still are a virgin. Yeah.
For sure. Well, that's really nice. Now, do we know boy, girl? Boy, girl, boy, girl.
I'm having a boy.
You're having a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that new news?
No.
Was that out there? Did I miss that?
You missed that.
How
yes.
did I miss that? How did I miss that? Because last time I talked to you, you didn't know.
No. So in between, since I saw you last and now, we found out and actually posted it online.
Oh. You know how you know what your real good
and
friends are?
And we talked about it on You Betcha Radio as well.
You know how you know your true friends? Your true friends do not find out these important things on social media because they're not following you for the clout. They find out in person.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about our friendship, Miles.
I do too. It doesn't bother me that you didn't know. I kind of like it. Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost better that you don't know.
That's really exciting. A boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you stoked when you found out you were having a boy, or were you hoping for a girl yourself? I feel like you're a guy who wants a boy.
Yeah, I didn't really care, to be honest.
Sure. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Boy, girl, whatever.
What I had said on our other podcast was it was exciting. And then there was this veil of responsibility that fell over me of having a boy, right? Yeah. You have a girl. It's like you and your wife are kind of raising the kid. She's got to deal with all of the feminine things of raising a girl. And
yeah.
You're kind of just chilling. As long as you're there, I think girls end up, you know, you don't have to do as much as a dad. With a son, think of all of the things I have to teach him.
Oh, man. Not only that, like your dad taught you a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there something your dad didn't teach you that you want to learn in the next few months here so you can teach your son as soon as he comes out the deal?
Honestly, there's not anything that comes on to mind, right? My dad did a pretty good job, I thought.
And I think your dad did a wonderful
job. I think my parents should have done a better job teaching me about how taxes and stuff work.
See, I knew there was one thing, taxes.
Yep.
Have you been audited yet?
My kids are going to, by the time they're 18, they're going to know the ins and outs of how taxes work.
They're going to know write-offs.
And I'm not going to do it. My accountant, I'm going to make a meeting with my accountant, and then I'm going to show up and just shove my kids in the room and then leave, and then they have to explain it to them.
Yeah.
Because I still don't know how they work.
It's a magical process, man. Intentionally so, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Intentionally so. The
big tax is really...
Big tax is screwing the pooch for all the everyone else out there. Hey, there's a pool table in this bar, Miles.
Mm-hmm. Maybe... Do you think that's messed up that the second thing I thought after having a boy was I'm going to have to teach him about taxes?
Well, I think it just shows what's on your mind.
I got to make sure that he doesn't grow up to be someone who is, you know, 36 years old, kind of unorganized.
I do not like this. This is sounding like a Charlie description.
I got two things in, and you knew that where I was going.
Well, you started off with 36. That's a very specific age.
Are you 36?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. How that worked out that way.
Odd. Oh,
that is very odd.
Are you going to? Is it important that you teach your kids the importance of paying what they owe, or trying to evade what they may not need to pay?
You mean tax wise?
Yeah.
I think I will present them with all of the available tools tax-wise, and then they can make a decision as long as it's a legal decision.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And the fun thing about taxes is there's a lot of gray area. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of little wiggle room. And sometimes you might wiggle your way a little too onto the...
There will be no wiggling in that direction.
Okay.
This family.
All right. Yeah. Lay the hammer down. Very happy for you guys, Miles. Was Anne excited about the boy, or was she hoping for a girl?
She didn't really care either, but we were both excited.
Well, good for you guys.
And my last name lives on.
Yeah.
I was the first one in my generation with this last name to have a boy, so I got the job done.
Hey, high fives, dude. Put it up top. All right.
Your family's got a lot of chances.
Probably
already done.
Yeah, no, there's a few boys. There's a few... swinging.
How many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers. Two have kids. One has two boys.
There you go. You don't gotta do. You're chilling.
I mean, I've been chilling.
Yeah, we know.
I've had the slack picked up for me. You know.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm really
seems
happy.
To be a reoccurring theme.
What's that? Charlie. Having my slack picked up.
Yep.
You know what, Miles? It's not. We're starting off on the wrong foot here at Chubb's Pub.
Sorry. I'm excited. Going to be a dad.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what you teach him, you know?
Hey, yeah.
So what would you teach my kid if you have the opportunity?
It depends if you make me godfather or not.
Let's say I do.
Okay. Let's say, now that's a bigger thing. I would teach him a few different, I would teach him the proper way to shop on Craigslist.
Okay.
You know, I would teach him that you can't just fall in love with a snowmobile and expect it to work. Just because it worked the one time you test rode it, you got to check a few more things out.
That's
you
know? That's actually great advice.
And
he's going to be shopping on Craigslist a lot because I'm not going to be just buying him a snowmobile.
Yeah. You know? Actually, I was curious about that, you know, because, you know, you've done well for yourself, Miles. Anne has, too. You know, is your kid going to get a job once they turn 12 years old?
I don't know about 12, but hopefully they have a job before they leave the house.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we'll see if my dad's still doing his concrete business, because I'd love for him to go work concrete.
Little tackle box, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learn the tricks of the trade, learn how to work hard, also learn how to not be as a human. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people working there making questionable decisions. Got to learn from experience.
That is. You got to work in the job maybe you don't want forever and meet the people you don't want to be in order to figure out where you want to go.
And the advantage, too, is when their vocabulary gets expanded by working there,
yeah.
you can blame the job and not because I use colorful language.
See? So you're just looking
playing
for a
the
cover.
Long game. Yeah,
I got
a little
news
coverage.
I got news for you, guy. one of my earliest memories for first grade, kindergarten. Actually, I was on the bus. I was teaching my buddy Eric how to say the F word, which I just learned, and he was teaching me the SHIT word. So you're gonna have to find that cover long before he's 16.
We'll see.
Kids these days, man. Kids these days. Or those days. Anyway, congratulations. I'm excited for you.
Thank you, Charlie.
It's great. Should we do some callers? Or
yeah, we should probably find some with some parenting advice. Now that I'm a parent, I know all the answers. So should be able to give pretty good advice.
Wow.
Now that I have a bun in the oven.
Yeah, you know, just life keeps you humble, which I love. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, you bet.
Should we take some callers?
Let's do it. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who is on the line with us today?
This is Dan.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good.
Oh,
what nice. Are you? What are you up to, Dan?
Not much. Hanging out.
You at work?
No. I just got home from work.
Where do you work at?
I have a quality assurance.
Dan, you're a man of few words. I'm going to tell you that.
What? You said you're what in insurance?
Hold on a second.
Oh, yeah. Take your time, Dan.
Quality assurance.
Quality insurance.
Okay, so you're, I don't want to say it, but you're a little bit of a narc.
Yeah, basically, it's a glorified term for an auditor.
Okay.
Oh, quality assurance.
Yeah, not insurance.
I thought he worked at quality insurance. I was like, how'd you come up with that name?
Yeah.
Quality stuff. So, cool, Dan. Well, hey, man, belly up to the bar. Tell us what's on your mind, guy.
So I live in central Minnesota most of my life, and I'm from up by Fargo-Moorhead. And I've gone to Wisconsin a few times, and the road system there. What's up with the letters, Charlie?
Oh, all right. Listen.
Okay, so you're wondering why Wisconsin has letters for street names instead of numbers.
I was traveling in the country south of Madison, and these people were giving me directions to get onto J.
Oh yeah,
and then turn onto K, and then turn onto KK, and then turn back onto J.
Oh.
And it's like, why can't I just stay on J?
All right, now Dan, just listen up here. So are you telling me you were trying to go from J to K to KK, and did they tell you to go to back from J, east on J, and then north on K? Or did they say, Dan, did they say go from J to K, and then L, and then O, and then L, which stands for just kidding, LOL. Oh, Dan, I got you.
I didn't even see that one coming.
Yeah,
that
was a good one. Yeah. Boom.
All right, so you're going to take the JK LOL route. And then when you get there, it's not the right spot. And then they're like, ha ha, gotcha, JK LOL.
And it's at the bar. And I'm waiting at the bar, you know, and just say JK LOL. Yeah. He's like, dude, I'm supposed to be at this funeral. I was like, yeah, you're not going to make it.
JK LOL.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for calling, Dan. Well, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Complain more about Wisconsin, the greatest state in the world.
To be honest,
Wisconsin's
only good for beer and fireworks.
You shut the front door right now, Dan. Wisconsin just good for beer and fireworks? Have you not caught a walleye in Wisconsin?
Okay. All right.
Have you not had a?
Hey, you riled up Charlie here. Let's do this rationally. What's better about Minnesota than Wisconsin?
Oh, is this a Minnesota versus Wisconsin off?
What's better about Minnesota than Wisconsin? Go.
Well, I mean, I guess got Wisconsin Dells. But other than that,
all right, Dan.
They're about the same.
Let me rephrase this. You are saying that Minnesota is a superior state than Wisconsin. Is that what you're coming on this podcast claiming?
I'm just saying the only two reasons why I go there is beer and fireworks.
Yet. That's the only reason you go there yet. Or that's the only reason you go there still. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, do I need to elaborate on other reasons you need to go to Wisconsin? Or have you seen enough of Wisconsin that you think Minnesota's a superior state?
Well,
you
maybe it said he's just getting lost.
Yeah,
with all the letter streets, and that kind of brings us back. So, What's the difference? Why is it such a big deal to you that they're if they use letters versus numbers?
Well, I just don't. I just didn't understand the part like they're to turn on to from J to K and then KK and then back on to J.
So this is like a very specific one time the directions were confusing.
Well, I mean, in Dan's defense, there are a lot of letterings, but Dan, I'm personally confused now. I thought every state had letters.
No.
Not every state does that?
No.
You guys don't watch Sesame Street?
No, it's just Wisconsin.
It's not just Wisconsin. Is it just Wisconsin?
In the Midwest, yeah.
It might be.
Well, you know what, Dan? I'll tell you this. It's actually great for your memory, okay? First of all, everybody knows that letters are more memorable than numbers. So that's actually in the win category for Wisconsin. It just takes a little getting used to.
Okay, here's a question. If letters aren't the route, right, that he wants to go.
The route or the route?
Both.
Okay.
Let's propose something else. You can't go numbers because there's already all the numbers are already taken up because they use numbers in Wisconsin as well, don't they?
Oh yeah, we do not discriminate when it comes to roads.
Charlie, in Wisconsin, what else should roads be named after? Should it be pictures? Should it be like how many beers, right? So you're going to take 2-3 beers over to 4-5-6 beers, you know? Like, what are you thinking?
That's actually not, I feel, okay, hear me out, Dan. Hear me out. Could this be a solution to your problem? What if we had, you know, when you go into yourself, like you ever been to Chubb's in North Dakota? You ever been to Chubb's Pub over there in Fargo?
If I did, I don't remember.
Well, it really doesn't matter. And that's a great answer. And it's probably true. But it doesn't matter. Any small town bar you go into, they got these beautiful lit up beer signs. And I think instead of 94 West, we should be taking Pabst Chubb's Pub beer, you know, or we should be taking Miller Lite Road all the way. Name them after
NDSU Busch Light.
Yeah. There you go.
Stuff like that. That'd be a good one. Yeah. But then the signs are just neons.
The signs are neons. So the beer companies can, like, you know how they had Miller Park, you know, because Miller was the advertiser for the Brewers. You know, the beer companies can, and they can pave the roads, literally. You know, they can sponsor a highway.
Instead of adopting, they sponsor a highway, and then they get more advertising, and your roads are better quality because they're getting paid for by these companies.
Yeah. Now, of course, they're going to have to write drink responsibly underneath because you don't want to be advertising highways and then encouraging people to.
And honestly, the highway system in Wisconsin should just be the destination should always be the next bar. So it wouldn't be it's like, hey, this far until the next bar. And you just have to jump from bar to bar. That's basically Wisconsin anyways.
That is basically Wisconsin. Now, I can already see the complications with the drinking and driving, but we're just spitballing here, Dan.
Right.
What else could we use to mark the highways, Miles?
I mean, pictures are always good.
Pictures?
But yeah.
Oh, just instead of like the deer crossing signs, that's the deer freeway, the deer way.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just mark it by the animals that typically will cross.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to want to head down Turkey Way. Here.
Yeah. And then people are looking out for turkeys.
Yes.
You know, and
we could save money on signs as well. Then you don't need all the deer crossing signs. They'll just know because I'm on Deer Highway. That I got to watch out for deer.
That's true. Now, I could see a complication. Oh, yeah, I was over there on Turkey Highway. Would you? You know, I hit 2 deer on Turkey Highway. They really got to rename Turkey Highway to Deer Road.
Yeah, it's like one just turns into turducken.
Turducken.
You got turkeys, ducks, and chickens walking across the road. You can just start combining them all.
That's fun.
Thanksgiving.
And then the possibilities are endless. I think we solved this problem right here, Dan.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I just, you had to tell me to go on three different streets to get back on the first street.
He doesn't care about any of this, Charlie. He just wants you to fix this one section of Wisconsin.
Well, it's actually a couple sections. So if you go the Driftless region or you go like up north, you know, when you get into those country roads where they're like, you know, they're like, you know, let's try letters here. And that's kind of what you get. And it gets complicated because there is actually a road that's O and P and E. And with the different arrows, and it says "ope." Isn't that fun?
That is
because it spells "ope." You know, that should be a hat.
I have another question.
Oh, changing the subject. Yeah, please.
Well, no. I went through Green Bay up to going towards the UP.
Yeah.
And are all those small town bars, are they legally required to have an old style or a Pat's Blue Ribbon sign hanging above the door?
Or Blatt's, you know, that comes from a time, Dan, if you're really interested in the history on this, that comes from the time where every time back in the day, beer companies and distributors and whatnot, they would bribe the bar. Still do this. You know, you see umbrellas that are like of a certain beer variety. That's somebody who went in there and was like, hey, I'm going to get you some umbrellas if you put this behind the bar. So what you're seeing is back in the day, that beer company bribed that bar, said, we'll give you a free sign if you do that. And that's how that's where that came from. They're like, we'll even put your name in neon. You know, so you can tell.
You can't pass that up either if you're the bar.
No.
Free neon? Free regular hang. Because I know the hanging light, you know, it's like off the side of the bar and it like sways in the wind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Those are the ones you're talking about, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one can pass.
They're probably from the 70s.
70s, 60s of that vintage. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was called Freon back then. Free neon. And it will line the bars. And then you walk inside that bar and you'll see a lot more Freon. And it was criminalized at one point just for a brief stint in the 80s. But it came back pretty strong. And you see a lot of Freon out there now. Bar signs are expensive, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I worked in the industry for 23 years.
Did you? What'd you do?
You name it, I did it. Except for own the building.
So you own the bar, but you didn't own the building is what it sounds like.
I had a small percentage of a bar at one point. Yeah. While we're on the subject of beer and stuff like that, take note that Hams, it was a Minnesota beer first.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then where'd it go?
To Wisconsin.
Yeah, it did. Hey, Dan, have you ever put a Hams in a ham? Like, you know, chicken, turkey butt chicken. You ever do that with a ham and a Hams? It's good.
I don't like ham.
Oh, well, you've heard of this thing we call ham, right? And other people in your family may like ham. So maybe next Christmas you'll think about them, Dan. Cripes.
Dan, I like you a lot. I like anyone that can get Charlie all riled up. So I appreciate you calling
thanks,
in
Miles.
Today. Yeah, this was great.
I you know what? Thank you guys. I know you're making fun of me and everything. I'm having a good time just laughing.
Dan, so. Dan, don't project here. Don't turn the tables on me, guy. I'm wise to this. You called this podcast to make fun of Wisconsin. What am I supposed to do? Let that stand? Just because we watched a little bit too much Sesame Street and said, oh, you know, today's highway is sponsored by the letter A. What, you know what, Dan? Why don't you
they get
it?
Should sponsor more roads with AA. There should be two A's in Wisconsin.
That's actually accurate. But, Dan, I apologize in advance for this, but I want you to get on road A and then take a right on SS and get your ass out of Wisconsin. Okay? And, yeah, you know where
I'll
ends?
I'm glad to.
Lake Superior, all right? So I hope you're driving a duck boat. Golly. Speaking of which, Wisconsin Dells has a great duck boat tour, which is another thing you can do when you're getting your freaking fireworks, Dan. Boom.
Pow. I've done it.
Yeah.
I've already been on a duck boat tour.
Damn it. You should go again and enjoy it this time, Dan.
Well, Dan, I thank you for thoroughly getting Charlie all riled up. That is one of my life's
pleasures. Yeah, well, I don't even know if you guys are going to use this, but whatever.
Oh, no, we're using it, Dan. We're using it. That ass joke was pretty money, okay? So that might close out a little video, all right?
All right, I'm cool with that.
All right, all man. Right. Well, thanks for calling in, and you have a good one.
Watch out for deer.
Yeah, you as well.
Watch out for deer on Highway I-40 deer.
Yeah, on Turkey Road. Yeah.
Turkey Road, yeah. Yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
See you, Dan.
Yeah, later, guys.
It seemed like he had one mission, Charlie, and I think he mission accomplished. Mm-hmm.
He accomplished it.
Next time, you got to take a deep breath.
Excuse me. Oh, now I feel better. Yeah. Now I feel better. That was just a burp. No. See, I'm like a baby. I'm happy now.
Yeah, I had like gas pain.
Yeah,
right?
I called Dan back up. I was rude to him. I was just trying to pass that. Man, oh, man. Dan the man. Miles, I hope your son don't grow up to be like Dan. I'm going to say that right now.
All right, Charlie, should we take another call?
Let's hope it's a better one.
Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Dan from New York City.
Dan,
oh man.
Oh man.
We just got off the phone with another.
It's a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope Miles liked the last Dan. I did not. So I'm hoping you're a good Dan.
I mean, I hope so too.
Okay, Dan. Well, what's going on? Why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I grew up in Wisconsin, and when I was a kid, I went deer hunting with my dad and my grandpa and, you know, a bunch of my dad's friends. And then I got really into music. It's what I do now. And I got too busy to go hunting. And I haven't been hunting since I was like 16, 17 years old.
Aww.
Now I live in Manhattan. Ooh. And I don't know how to find hunting buddies.
We talking Kansas Manhattan or New York Manhattan?
New York Manhattan.
Okay.
How do you find hunting buddies in New York, New York, the Big Apple, Manhattan, the island next to the, anyway, I don't know what they call it there. Dan, I'll tell you this. I was in New York not too long ago, and I was walking around the Manhattan, you know.
Yeah, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Hold that thought.
I'm holding that thought. Hold Miles, that thought. Take it. Miles.
So he's wondering how to find hunting buddies in Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
And you were walking around Manhattan.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Charlie, you would be a great hunting buddy.
Dan.
So why don't you just tell us what you did, what you looked like, the things you were saying, and then Dan will know how to find them.
Well, okay. Miles,
what were you wearing?
My story was kind of going into this.
Okay.
Now, I was wearing the wrong thing, but this fella I passed on the street, Dan, was wearing the right thing. And what he was wearing is what you need to wear. What he was wearing is he was wearing a camo, an orange camo shirt. So, you know, the trees and whatnot and blaze orange. All right. It was a hunting jacket and I was walking around. I wasn't paying attention. And then all of a sudden that blaze orange caught my eye and I turned around. I said, oh, that's a nice pattern you got going there. And he turned around. I said, oh yeah. And kept walking. Now that was a misconnection, Dan. Here's what I'm telling you. You get your best camo pattern. Okay. And choose it for the season. If you want a gun hunting buddy, you get your blaze orange out there and you start walking around Manhattan and do not wear a different jacket and people will approach you. The person who approaches you is going to be someone like myself.
And the beauty of wearing blaze orange in Manhattan is it will only attract the right people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to view people who aren't hunters like deer. Deer don't see blaze orange, do they, Charlie?
No.
And everyone who doesn't like to hunt is not going to give you a second look or even give you the time of day. But the person who does hunt is going to see that blaze orange and want to chit-chat with
you. Yeah, they're going to compliment. They might get up close and give you a smell, see if it's still got a little dopey on it, you know? They're going to tap your pocket.
See, here's the problem living in New York. You're going to get people sniffing you no matter what you do, no matter what you wear. So, you know, you got to attract the right sniffers.
Yeah.
Well, then just I would maybe think about putting on a Doe Estrus type of cologne. And then you'll really get the right people.
That's
if everyone's smelling you, then maybe that's the next route. You wear the shirt, that's not getting the job done. Maybe a little pat, a little Doe Estrus on the wrist.
So you're saying there has to be level to this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're just getting started.
Yeah. I mean, you want to start it. You want to give yourself a place to go here, Dan. Now, I will say I'm going to caution you a little bit. Somebody might see your blaze orange camo pattern, and they might mistake you for a fashionable guy. Because I mean, honest, you get a little too close to the Met Gala, and that could be something somebody wears there, thinking it's ironic.
Yeah, but then they think he's part of it, and he just gets a free meal out of the night.
That's
the end of the world,
Dan. This is our challenge for you. The next Met Gala. You just roll up there and you go full blaze orange, just exactly what you would wear in the deer stand in a late December hunt, okay? And you walk your ass right into the Met Gala. I bet you no one stops you at all.
The only thing you're going to need is just a pair of sunglasses. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, without the sunglasses, he just looks like he's going deer hunting. You throw sunglasses on in the middle of the day, you look famous.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is he a rapper?
Yeah.
You know? I mean... So I think the other thing you can do is just start walking around Central Park and go, you guys seen any deer around here or no? You say that to enough people, they go, I was looking myself. Well, then you'll know that person might be a hunter. I had to Google one time, can you hunt in Central Park? The answer is no, Dan. So just know that.
No, sure can't.
Yeah.
I think the other spot you can look for fellow hunters in Manhattan is there's got to be a hole in the wall bar somewhere. And you'll know that it's the right place if drinks don't cost $17.
Good point, Miles.
Well,
in fact,
yeah. So that's the problem in Manhattan. I mean, there are all kinds of Midwestern bars, but you're still in Manhattan. So the drinks are $17-$18, you know, Miller Lights, even $12, like, you know,
Jesus Christ,
you know, what about you ever go to Kettle of Fish? It's a Packer bar.
I have. It's a great bar, a little light on the food, but you know, it's a good bar.
Well, maybe, you know, after you find your hunting buddy, you bring your, you know, your doe, your buck, bring the stuff that you can't fit in your Manhattan freezer, bring it over to them and tell them you'll it's on the house, you know, to try to lower the food prices. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So Charlie, you were a guy, Midwest hunting guy.
Still am.
But you were a guy walking through Manhattan.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you might hear from someone that you want to go hunting with? What would they be saying? Because I imagine, and I find myself doing this in a big city, is I do a lot of walking around looking up at shit.
Yeah.
If someone lives there full time, they are just walking with their head down, their AirPods in, and they're just going. Whereas I'm like looking up at the skyscrapers and my hands are getting a little sweaty looking at how tall they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was going to identify, I'd be looking for someone who's just looking up at all the buildings.
You'd be looking for a tourist, but he's looking for a buddy who's there, right? You want someone there, or do you want to just find any?
I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that hunts, you know, I mean, people who live in Manhattan probably have some land upstate, you know. Mm.
That's true. They're rich.
Good connection to have.
That's a tough one. A rich guy who also likes to hunt
in Manhattan
is what I would say a 30 point buck. That is a unicorn.
Yeah.
So how would you do it, Charlie?
Yeah.
I want to throw this out there. Go over to where the boats come in across the Hudson River from New Jersey. You know, they got that trolley boat. Those folks are coming from New Jersey. New Jersey, Miles, I didn't know if you know this. It's got a great hunting in New Jersey.
I did know that.
The Garden State. In fact, I think a caller might have talked to us about this a long, long time ago. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm misconstruing.
I don't know.
But I would find someone from Jersey, because someone who's taken the boat over to New Jersey is not, they're trying to save money. They're not taking their car in because of the tolls. They're getting themselves on a nice little ferry ride over on the commute. Just stand there as they come off the boat every morning.
And look for Blaze Orange.
And it may take you a few weeks, but, you know, you're a musician, so...
Yeah, that's a great excuse to stand there and not and just put out a hat, take your guitar out there, play some music. They think that you're just trying to make some extra cash, but in reality, you're just looking for a hunting buddy.
Maybe you just go there and play this song, 30-point buck, with your Blaze Orange hat out looking for tips, and the first guy to tip you, that's your hunting buddy.
Yeah, I suppose if they recognize 30-point buck, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, really the answer was kind of a trick question, Charlie. How do you find a guy in Manhattan that's going to be your hunting buddy? You look in New Jersey.
Yeah. See?
Trick question.
It is a trick question. Dan, one more out there idea. What is your favorite species to hunt?
It's got to be whitetail.
Whitetail.
That's what I grew up hunting.
All right.
Yeah.
You get yourself a grunt call. All right. You go in the subway. You put down your empty gun case that can't be full in New York, especially in the subway. You'll get arrested. And you sit there and you show off your calls. And once again, the first person to drop... Let's be honest, it's probably going to be some change into your gun case. That is your hunting buddy.
And you're saying take it on the road like performance art style.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do. Got to stick to your strengths, you know?
It's not performance art, Dan. You're out there looking for your buck and rut, my guy.
Yeah.
Now, I do have some... caution to throw your way. This person who put some money in your grunt call tip jar, they might not be the person you want to go hunting with. I mean, you're probably going to get a deer, but you might not leave that hunting cabin. Okay.
Yeah.
Because of why? Because it's in the subway, Charlie?
No, because... He's doing a very weird thing. And when you do a very weird thing, you attract very weird people.
That's how we got this podcast, Charlie, you and I.
It is. And I've been living in your basement ever since. So that's where the caution comes.
Living, chained up, you know, what's the difference?
Well, you unchained me for the podcast, so which I appreciate. By the way, can we get like some rubber inserts on that? My wrists are starting to go a little raw. Well, Dan, did we answer your question, my guy?
Yeah, you know, I think so. It's the challenge really is picking out the wheat from the chaff, let's say. There's a lot of weird folks in New York. So, you know, do you want to spend a week at deer camp with that person? Do you want to go up to a stand with that person? The person responding to deer calls on the subway, is that really a good bet?
Well,
but, you know. I mean,
here's the thing, though. That's what you're dealing with because you decided to move away from Wisconsin and move to Manhattan. So you can't have a perfect world if you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, Dan, final solution. Yeah. Move back to Wisconsin. How does that sound?
It sounds cheap is what it sounds. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it does sound cheap.
How's the music business going, by the way? Are you on Broadway? Are you a touring rocker?
Can we find you on Spotify?
No.
Yeah.
You can't find me on Spotify, unfortunately. I'm a pianist with the New York City Ballet here in New York.
So. Dang.
Yeah, ballet is not where you're necessarily going to find a deer hunter, I don't think.
No, they don't get out much.
That's really a cool gig you got there, though. How long you been...
Tickling the ivories.
Yeah.
I've been playing my whole life, and I've been here about 7 years, so...
Are you by a piano right now?
Close enough, yeah.
Show us your penis.
Can we see what you got?
Oh man. Okay. I don't know how it's going to sound, but you know.
Just set the phone up, put it on speaker. We'll clean it up.
Uh huh.
I mean, any requests? What do you? I don't know. In a minute.
Sing us a song, Dan. You're the piano man.
I will not sing. I don't get paid enough for that. But
okay. We'll sing. We'll sing. Can you play Piano Man?
I only know like the main lines of it.
I know some.
Okay.
Dan, I got some bad news. If you're playing, we can't hear it.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
That is too bad. Well,
can you move it closer?
Yeah. Let's...
I thought he was like warming up.
Yeah. Are you on speaker? The suspenders are killing me. Dan, what's going on? No, we can't hear nothing.
I don't know.
Darn
it. Is it an electric keyboard that you're playing?
No, it's a piano. I don't know. I had it on speakerphone. Maybe the mic just is overloaded. You know, pianos are loud instruments.
They are wild.
Yeah, it was wild that we couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, that was all right.
Dan, if we come to New York, can you get us tickets to the ballet?
Oh, heck yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be
fun. You know what? I'll get you tickets to the ballet if you give me tickets to your next show in New York, Charlie.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you were here.
I just had one out there. I was playing at City Winery.
I know. I found out the day of. Oh. I didn't even see the announcement go up.
Shoot. Well, I got to do better advertising. By the way, if you're looking for more shows that I might be playing, you can go to charliebarons.com and click on the tour section. Dan, it's been a real honor. I like you a lot more than the last Dan. I'll tell you that much.
All right. I'll take it.
Well, good luck for your hunting buddy search in New Jersey. You know the plan. You know what to do. I think you're going to get it done.
Yeah. I mean, with guidance that I get from you guys, how could I go wrong?
We say that all the time. Yeah. We don't necessarily get that a lot, but we say it all the time.
We do say that. We say it often about ourselves.
And that means a lot.
Hey, if you don't believe in yourself, who will?
Yeah. I mean.
Absolutely.
We're searching, you know.
We are a living, breathing example of only people believing in us is ourselves.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So.
And you can make it all the way to Chubb's Pub if you just believe in yourself. So that's a lesson for the kids listening out there. Well, Dan, you have a good one, my guy, all right?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Watch out for deer now.
All right, you watch out for them, too. Miss you already.
Yeah, I mean, that's whatever the opposite of shooting fish in a barrel is, that's what he's up against. The complete opposite of that.
Yeah. He's in
finding a needle in a haystack is what I think they say that.
Yeah. Finding I was going to say a seed in the Big Apple, but you could probably.
I mean, apple
seeds are pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know. And haystacks have needles.
No, they don't.
Some do.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, where do you think the thing came from?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
That is a weird one, honestly. I have never found a needle in a haystack now that I'm thinking about it. Friggin'.
How did the needle end up there? What was.
Someone was sewing and someone was trying to repair their jeans while they were on break. Lost the damn needle. Like, I can't find the freaking needle. And then someone's like, you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. And then they were out the next day and he dropped his wallet as he was going down the combine, and they're like, I gotta find my wallet. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. Good luck.
And it just snowballed from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably how it happened.
Trying to find a snowball in a blizzard. Well, they're everywhere.
It's kind of the opposite.
It is. Unless it's.
That's actually like shooting fish in a barrel.
Also, you know, it's got to be a strong barrel to shoot fish in it. Because, I mean, You know, if it's that barrel, that barrel's not going to last long.
It's actually going to be easier if you shoot a hole in the barrel and all the water goes out. Yeah.
You ever try wrestling some perch out of a live well?
No.
They're just swimming around. It's the biggest pain in the pecker. You got to drain the live well first.
Ah. Should we take another caller, Charlie?
I think so. Miles, you know what? I didn't want to do this like at a weird time when you were in front of people, so I just figured I'd do it now. I'm so happy that you're having a boy that I got you a Tippecanoe, the blue one. Yeah.
How did you know? How did you know that I'd want to celebrate having a baby boy with a blue Tippecanoe?
Because I know my buddy. I know my buddy Miles. I know he likes tipping on back with the Tippecanoe, and I knew I had to get him that vanilla one because he is a vanilla fella. And
you know what I'm going to use this for?
What's that?
Pre-game and labor.
Pre-game that deal, you know? And, hey, as soon as that baby's out of hand, you give her one of them, too. You know?
And it's already vanilla soft serve. It can't be much different than what the kid's having, so kind of just blend right in.
That's kind of fun. I wanted to make a joke, but I don't think it's advertiser appropriate. So anyways,
that's what I'm celebrating right here with a little Tippecanoe.
Cheers.
The blue one.
Congrats, Miles. DraftKings, the leader in fantasy sports, just dropped a brand new fantasy app, Pick Six. Pick Six is the newest way for you to get on the fantasy football action with DraftKings. Just pick between 2 and 6 NFL players and choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more or less than 100 rushing yards, or will a player have more than 1 touchdown? Track your lineup and compete against others for a shot at huge cash prizes. Download the DraftKings Pick Six app now and sign up with the code BELLIEDUP. That code bellied up only on DraftKings. Pick Six. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. That age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Valid only in states where DraftKings Pick Six operates. Pick Six not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, please visit dkng.co/picksixstates. Void where prohibited. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com. Folks, I tell you what. You're driving down a Midwest highway. What do you see? You see a bald guy with sunglasses and a big, beautiful beard. It's the Nicolet Law Offices billboards. All right. You know, some of you might call it the Nicolet Law Offices. OK, but you're probably not correct, but that's OK. You did enunciate the T. Anyway, I'm going to shut up with this intro because we have the man behind the billboards, the face on the billboards. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the fellow with the beard and the glasses on the horn right now. Russell, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How you boys doing?
We're bellied up to a bar right now. We can't complain.
Yep, not at all.
It's nice to put a voice to the face.
Yeah, it's about what I thought it would sound like.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So, Russell, as our resident law office here at Bellied Up, it's good for us to have, you know, a lawyer that we can call. We're very curious, though, about the world of law. And we're wondering if you got any good stories for us, maybe in the courtroom or something crazy that happened.
I've got one. I mean, there's a few too. When I was a young lawyer, when the old judges would bring me back, sometimes they'd have a bottle of whiskey and they'd give you a little nip on it to tell you whether you're doing a good job or a bad job. But there was one where I was doing a trial up in northern Wisconsin. And we had a jury. And so the first part of the trial is they call it voir dire. It's French for basically you're trying to figure out the jury and who should sit on the jury and, you know, who's going to be good and who's not going to be and who's going to be fair and not fair. And we're up in northern Wisconsin and this guy comes in and he's got a 2-liter bottle. And I don't remember if it was Sprite or 7-Up or Coke or what it was, but he's literally drinking it. Right out of the bottle in the courtroom while we're asking questions. And I'm looking at the judge like, judge, what the hell is this? And the judge is kind of shrugging back. And so we start asking the guy questions and he's just kind of grunting, you know, like grunting back the answers, like they're inaudible. And he's just drinking this bottle and then kind of belching really loud.
And sounds like Charlie.
Stop.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it might have looked very similar to Charlie.
unkempt fella. So what was in the bottle?
I think it was just pop, but the thing was, what I was trying to figure out was, this guy serious, or did he like Google something on how to get off a jury, right? Like, because
that would have been my move.
Yeah, that's and did it work?
Well, it eventually did, but the problem is, so the defense attorney, which is the opposing attorney, because this was a personal injury, so I'm against an insurance company. And those attorneys generally want people that just don't want to be there. They want those people on the jury because those people just want to get the heck out of there. And so I tell the judge again, I'm like, hey, judge, can we have a sidebar? So we go up and I'm like, judge, this guy's got to go. He's not even answering questions. And the defense attorney's like, oh, no, judge, he's fine. He's doing a great job. He knows what, you know, he's. And I don't even know how he could say that, right? I mean, as we're talking, he's like belching super loud. And so in any event, the judge goes, well, you know, if you want to remove him, because each side gets two strikes, you can strike him, but I'm not going to remove him for cause, which is where the judge gets to remove him himself. He's like, I you know, we'll see what he does. And so I've got two other people that I want to strike, so I don't strike him. Of course, the defense attorney doesn't strike him. And then, so he makes the jury. He actually makes the jury. And so he's on the 12-person jury, and then he starts doing even some weirder stuff, and everybody else gets up because they're excused to go outside and, you know, get the bathroom and, you know, do whatever they need to do, maybe have a smoke break, whatever, before the trial starts. And the guy just sits there pounding that 2-liter bottle and belching, and like I think it was the bailiff trying to talk to him and say, hey, like, you got to go. And I keep looking at the judge like, judge, I told you. The guy stands up, and in the middle of court, the judge starts talking to him. And as the judge is talking to him, he's still slamming that 2-liter bottle. And the judge finally tries to, you know, get some direct conversation with him. And the guy basically can't answer. The guy then walks out of the courtroom and doesn't ever come back. So basically, he ended up removing himself, and they didn't send the bailiff or anybody after him. I think the judge just at that point was like, I think you're right. I told the judge, hey, I told you this. And so we ended up having an 11-person jury. So who knows where that guy is? Maybe he learned something on Google. I would say if this podcast was around back then, maybe you guys gave him a little information. Maybe it was Charlie, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's probably still taking a pee break. I mean, after all that pop, I imagine that he had to go pretty bad. He's probably still going.
I was curious, the top 5 ways to get out of jury duty, but I don't know if you can legally answer that.
Well, I think that guy figured out one, right?
Yeah.
Like so that guy might be out like teaching some kind of e-class or selling an ebook on how to get off juries right now. We should probably do a Google search and we'll probably find him.
I think there's a market for that, Charlie.
I think so.
Well, I think we could come up with some pretty good ideas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, for one, I could say, you know, why do you want me as a jury member? You know, these lawyers, were just watching them practice law. Like, they're supposed to be professionals, but they're just out here practicing. So get me the professionals and then maybe I'll, you know, sit here and do it. You know, just do a little wordplay. You know, I think that's one. Just be a pain in the ass.
Like, answer every question with a question.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Socratic method.
Yeah. Just talk about how indecisive you are, I think, is maybe a good thing.
Yeah.
To get off of jury duty.
Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate the little tidbit there. I wouldn't have had that on my bingo card of how to get out of jury duty, but here we are. Here we are. Yeah. Where can the folks find you?
Obviously, if you're just driving down the road and you look over, you're probably going to see one of our billboards. But other than that, you can get us at nicolaylaw.com. Or check us out on social media. We're all over there now as well.
Well, hell yeah, man. We appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Watch for deer.
All right. You guys take care.
All right. See you now. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we chit-chatting with today?
Hey, Philip.
Hey, Philip. You sound troubled, friend. The way you said, hey.
Oh, Philip. I'm in a little bit of a conundrum.
Oh, well, you came to the right place. Bellying up to the bar with us, Philip. Tell us what's on your mind.
All right. Well, I'm from Eastern Colorado here, honorary part of the Midwest. I hear from you guys.
Yep, yes,
flat,
it is.
Flat part of Colorado.
That's the only part worth keeping.
That's right. That's as flat as can be out here.
Good.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So a little bit about this conundrum, a little bit about me. I'm an avid country swing dancer. Some people might say,
oh,
that's pretty cool.
And, yeah, yeah, it's a good time. So a little while ago, I was at the old, the country swing dance bar in a neighboring town. And I noticed this pretty little thing across the way. Real gorgeous, gorgeous girl.
Bow, chick, bow,
so I go up, I ask her to, yeah, there you go. So I ask her out on the old dance floor, you know, and I start swinging her around. We get to talking a little bit. I swing her, and I take a big old bush of armpit hair right to the face.
Atta boy, Phil.
What were you doing sniffing your own armpit?
No, I wish it was coming from my armpit, but it yeah, it was coming from hers, and I didn't know how to react.
What did you do in the moment, first off? Did you just keep dancing like no one was watching?
I just kept dancing like no one was watching. In my mind,
like a true professional.
I kept it together.
But you, inside, what was your internal dialogue?
My internal dialogue was I thought it was a dude.
Oh, well, all right, Phil, I'm going to teach you a little thing about anatomy here. All right. And that's that, you know, it doesn't matter. We're all come from chimpanzees. When was the last time you went to a zoo, Phil? Huh?
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's been a while.
Well, if you look at the chimpanzee's armpits, I want you to do that the next time you go to the zoo. And you're going to notice there's a little bit of fluff there. And that's just as natural as it can be, you know?
Wouldn't that be funny if the zoos were shaving the female chimpanzee's armpits? Gotta keep them groomed, you know?
No.
So, okay, well, okay.
Let's break it down.
Let's get into this a little bit, because it's 2023, and I think that they were going to see more of this, Charlie. Yeah. That's the way the world is going.
Pit hair is
2024.
In.
Damn it.
Is it 2024?
Yeah, it's 2024.
Shoot.
So it's 2024. You're going to see more. I think like the trend online is what's in and what's out. Armpit hair for women might be in. I'm not saying that that's going to be true, but it very could well be. What's so wrong with a gal with a little extra tough underneath the pits?
Yeah.
What's so wrong with it?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just old school or not. I'm nervous those women from up in Boulder in the Front Range are making their way east, and I don't like it.
Oh, so you think you got
a territorial type of battleground now, I see.
That's like in Wisconsin, you know, when there's like an elk that meanders on through, you're like, where the hell did that come from? Or like a cougar or something, you know? So you got a bit of a hippie coming in from the mountain ranges, huh? Into your own swing dancing bar.
Yep.
Now,
yep, okay. I don't like it.
Yeah, okay. So you thought she was a guy. She's not a guy, though, correct?
No. Guys, I tell you, she was the most beautiful, about 5'10", long blonde hair. She was perfect just until that arm lifted up.
Okay.
And then my whole world got turned upside
down. So where are we currently at with this relationship with this gal? Did you get her number, or was it just a one night we danced and then midnight hit and she had to go home?
So we did one dance, exchanged numbers, parted ways. We've exchanged a couple texts since, but I'm apprehensive. I don't know whether to keep it going or give this thing a legitimate shot.
Well, Phil, I got a question for you. Do you have armpit hair yourself?
I sure do.
Okay. Sure do. Now,
ye without sin cast the first stone, I think, Charlie, is what the story of that is.
Yep. Ye without sin fair cast the first armpit hair. That didn't work. It would have been cool if I got that. I'm going to think about a good one tonight, and I'm going to be like, shoot, I should have said that to Phil. Phil, what are you grooming the balls or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What if she likes a nice set of balls with a beard on it and you're over there shaving it.
Yeah.
Do you think that you would shave, or you think you'd let it grow out for her?
Yeah, if we ended up getting together and that's something that she wanted, I'd be willing to do that, I think.
He'd beard his balls. Bearded ball, yeah. Phil.
You didn't have to get some beard balms to put on there. See what I did there?
Maybe a new business venture, Miles. Yeah.
Beard balls. It's hard to say. Marketing's tough. You just put the M in parentheses.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Balms. Beard balms.
Beard balms.
Phil.
Okay, so where I was going with that.
Oh, sorry, Miles. I always interrupt.
You guys do fall in love and you guys are a match made in heaven and you are swing dancing every night, don't you think she would be open to the idea of maybe not even shaving, just trimming those bad boys up? If you're willing to grow out some balls beard?
Oh, a little compromise here, you think?
All relationships have compromise, Phil.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you be willing for her to maybe just do like a goatee instead of like a full mane under there?
Oh, like a little armpit landing strip, you're saying.
Yeah.
Like a little soul patch. Okay. Soul chicken noodle soup for the soul patch in the armpit, you know?
That's sexy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be an option. Maybe I just got to be a little more open minded with this whole thing.
Phil, I got a question for you. Did the upholstery match the curtains?
I knew you were going to ask that. Didn't get to that point.
Did the carpet match the drapes? Mystery.
No, I wasn't talking about the carpeting. That's why I said upholstery, because it's higher up, right? Isn't that right? No.
Drapes would be the highest.
Did she have blonde pit hair? Does anyone have blonde
hair?
Was it nice and flowing?
Of a dirty blonde.
Was it nice and flowing?
Yeah, it was luscious.
How did it smell when you were down in there?
I did not get any whiff of any smell.
Well, that's good. That's good. No smell is good.
Phil, what color is your armpit hair?
Mine's a luscious brown.
Does the upholstery match the carpet?
It sure does.
Okay.
It sure does.
That would be wild. Dark hair, dark beard, dark armpit hair, but just blonde pubes would be unbelievable.
Just a Targaryen down there. Yes. Oh, man.
Blonde hair and blue balls.
Yeah, maybe I should pursue this, dig a little deeper into this.
Absolutely, this man.
Get some answers.
Yeah.
And I think what's really, what I find most often when people resisting change is it's not that that they hate it. It's more so that they're just not used to it. So I would just start looking at pictures of women with armpit hair online to desensitize yourself to it. So next time you see it, you aren't staring or making a face or anything like that. Might be a good piece of advice.
Okay. Maybe find one of those pictures on the internet and set it as my phone screensaver.
Well, then it's look at it all but the then, time. Then you're going to be sending the wrong message, because then if she sees that, she's actually going to think you're really into armpit hair. And that could backfire.
Yeah, you don't want to be there. Think you don't want to fetishize the armpit hair, you know?
Or maybe he could.
Yeah,
that would be best for both of them.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I mean, this is interesting territory. But Phil, yeah. I think as long as you could also the other way you could do it, Phil. You lead by example, you know. You shave your armpit hair and see if she'll follow suit, you know. But, hey, I got to tell you something, Phil. Be careful. You know, I mean, that's a lot of time that people spend, you know, escaping. You know how much time you're spending on your two fellas down there? You know, now you got to add the armpits in there. I mean, you got to check your drain, make sure they're capable of handling it, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Charlie.
Have you ever trimmed your armpit hair, Phil?
Never.
Never.
I've never taken part in that.
Well, neither has she. You guys might be meant to be together.
Yeah. Have that in common at least.
Don't look at it as a red flag. Look at that something you guys can bond over.
Yeah, dirty blonde flag. Two of them. Dancing in the wind.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the last thing I'll say to you is you close your eyes and you view the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And
keep going. I got a funny thing to say.
you view the person you want to spend the one you grow old with that you're rocking on the porch with when you're 90 years old and you
they're dancers. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
They're rocking and rolling on the porch at 90 years old.
Yeah.
And you had a great life together. If that person had armpit hair, do you think it would change anything about your life?
You know, I would just have to look at it every day. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, she's got to look at yours every day too, Phil.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true.
You know what, Phil? This is.
I don't know.
Listen. You know, I think about my wife. I get out of the shower and I got hair going everywhere. I'm starting to develop back hair, Charlie.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get shoulder hair. So not only under the pit, but on top too. And
little strangly ones, or you got a full patch?
I'm starting to get some patches going on, and I don't think she loves it. I don't think she's like, God, that patch of armpit hair on his shoulder is hot. I think she's just kind of like, well, that's what I got to deal with.
She loves him, not his hair, but she's with him for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if his back hair is knee high by the 4th of July, well, so be it. You know, Phil, I'm going to tell you this right now.
What were you going to say?
What do you mean? I forgot what I was going to say. But, Phil, I'll tell you this right now. I'll tell you this. You know, you got this beautiful dancing partner. And I say, you next time you go with cutoffs and you match her armpit hair, okay, and you guys dance with your armpit hair swaying in the smoke and the mist of the bar. And if you don't like it, if you can't handle that, Phil, maybe you just look her dead in the eyes and you say, hey, should we cut a rug together?
Oh, got yeah.
I got it.
Nice one.
Oh, Phil, do you get that? Because the rug is your armpit hair, so.
I hear you, Charlie. You guys are really opening up my mind to this whole situation.
That's what we're here for, Phil. You know, we're
an open-minded podcast.
Yeah.
Unless it's about stuff we're not open-minded about.
Right, right. Yeah. We're not going to open our minds to that shit.
Yeah, but this seems pit in hair. Wheelhouse. Yeah.
Little pit hair? Come on, Phil.
It's already hard enough to find the love of your life out there, and now we're splitting hairs.
Oh, it started off as a hairy situation, but now it's just...
I'm glad we combed through this. You know? And this crew is really starting to gel.
I think like it is gelling. Yeah. Phil, are there any loose ends or split ends here that we've left, you know?
Because we don't want to just buzz over everything.
No.
I don't think so, guys. I think we got her covered.
All right.
I think what I'll do is I'll
covered like
I
a
might
toupee.
Have to pursue this. I might have to give this a little time, see what happens, and give you guys a call back in the future for a little update.
Yeah, do report back. We want to know. I think that it could be love at first whiff.
I think so.
Armpit.
And you know what? Maybe I think we're starting a trend here on the Bellied Up Podcast. And there's going to be so many folks that want armpit hair, even those that can't grow armpit hair. And so you guys will have to do, you know, locks for love with the pit hair. You trim your pit hair. And you could do merkins for gherkins, too. You know, you never know. You know what a merkin is?
Could be.
I think it's a toupee for the down there. I think so. Merkins for gherkins. That's pretty good. I don't know. I don't even know if that's accurate. Can someone Google that? Can you Google merkin?
You imagine?
It's true. Merkins for gherkins, dude. That's what's up. Yeah. So, Phil, we're really glad you called, man.
Merkins for jerkins.
I'm happy you guys.
That's what it should have been.
Jerkins
or jergens.
Isn't gherkin like,
I don't know.
Jergens.
I don't know.
Anyway, hey, Phil, you get out to the store, buy yourself some Head and Shoulders, all right?
Okay. I'll be at your show in Greeley next month there, Charlie.
Bring her with.
Bring her with, dude.
And we won't. He won't say anything.
I'm not going to say
but
nothing.
But what he's going to do is he's going to make the crowd do the YMCA so that he can get a nice look at it. All he's going to have to do is make the crowd do the YMCA, and then he'll know how this went.
Young men, there's no need to feel down, said young men, when your hair is under.
And then, yeah, because if she still has arm hair, he's going to light up the crowd, too, when you do the YMCA.
Oh, for sure.
So she still has arm hair. We know that you have been an open-minded fella, and you are there. Or she doesn't. You guys compromised, and you grew hair on your balls.
Yep.
And then he's gonna make the crowd do the "it's hot in her," so take off all your clothes so we can see if he honored his argument.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah,
that's it. I want to see that ball beard, Phil. Well, I'm excited for you, Phil. You got a whole world in front of you to explore. Hair is a fun thing. It's a gift from God. You know, the fact that we cut it off all the time. Ugh. You know, it's like. It, so much Drano. You know?
That's a good point.
How much time are we unclogging sinks because we're just cutting off our pit hair and ball hair? And it's there for a reason, Phil.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Well, I'm glad we could fill you with some knowledge.
Well, thanks for calling in, man. Yeah. And good luck.
All righty. Watch out for deer now.
All right. Yeah. You know, I think we really friggin' changed some hearts and minds out there with this call, Miles.
I think that we changed the world today.
I do. I mean,
all it takes is one person to open the eyes of the rest of the world, and knowledge is power. Now he knows that he was closed-minded on that subject.
He did. He is. And we opened some minds. We opened some follicles. And I'm feeling really good about us right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we appreciate you tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast.
Are you ball-shaved?
Kind of a hybrid.
Nice.
Yeah.
A little fuzzy? Fuzzy balls?
A little fuzzy. When I get around to it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
Now that I'm married, it's kind of a as-needed basis. It's not necessarily part of the regular routine.
Yeah, no, you're looking like the Rolling Stones in 78 down there. I got it. That's funny.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode.
Sorry, we're leaving. All right, guys. Oh, you want to close it out?
Are you Midwest goodbying our own podcast?
I think so. And I just, my mind's spinning.
Did he want me to ask him? He asked me that question so I could ask him if he was groomed.
I'll let you take one guess. Here, give me your hand. All right, folks. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week. Hey, don't forget to tip your bartender, okay? We'll see you soon.
Love you guys.
Bye.